Normally at this time, this is going into a time of prayer. I would call your attention to the prayer quilts, but there are none today. But that doesn't mean there's not people out there needing prayer. So I would like to ask you to say a small prayer today for all the people that have received prayer quilts from our church, because an extra prayer would never hurt any one of them. Now please join me in an attitude of prayer. God our Father, by raising Christ your Son, you conquered the power of death and opened for us the way to eternal life. Let our celebration today raise us up and renew our lives by the Spirit that is within us. We come before you this morning to praise you, to give you thanks, to feel your love. We give praise and thanks for those that teach us, those that help us to learn to live as Jesus lived. We pray for those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships, struggling with health issues, those that have lost loved ones, and those that are struggling with financial burdens. In their time of need, we want them to know your love is always there for them. We want them to know of your blessings, your strength, your love, your hope. We thank you for the blessings that you have given to us, our friends, our family, our neighbors. Help us to love them as you do, to care for each other, to show your love to those that need it, especially those that need your love the most, the ones that don't know your love yet, the ones that don't know yet that your love is there for them, the ones that don't know yet that they need you. Father, we pray for all in need in our communities, in our state, across the nation, and across the world that have suffered due to conflicts going on in our lives and near and far from our homes. We pray for the people of Belgium, the people who have lost family and friends from this horrific tragedy, that they feel your love during this troubling time and know the comfort of your love. We pray for our leaders, that they may feel your guidance, so that the decisions that they make may be tempered with your love. We pray that they have the strength to make the decisions that will give us hope. We pray that they feel your love and it fills their hearts, that your love may be shown through them, that your love may be felt by others that might otherwise seek to harm us. Father, we confess that we are not always the Easter people that we should be, living in the certain knowledge of your great mercy and love. Distracted by the world around us, we fail to hear your voice, or hide when faith is challenged as we wander off the path. Forgive us, we pray. Restore the love that we first had, a faith that can endure. We thank you that Easter is not about a people, but all people. That your love and your salvation are for all who confess with voices, hearts, and lives that the tomb is empty because Jesus has risen. That we might know forgiveness, that lives might be reborn, and your name glorified now and for eternity. Now we share with you our prayers, our concerns, and our praises as we come to you in these moments of silent prayer and meditation. We stand before you, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and resurrected Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please listen to God's word from the 24th chapter of Luke. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Dave. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, on this glorious day, be with us as we peek into the open tomb. Help us to celebrate your life, your resurrection, your presence here, and speak to us that our lives in some way may be changed by this celebration. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. He has risen. He has risen indeed. It is the traditional cry of the people of Easter, and we are the people of Easter. We come this day, as I said before, because this day is all that the church is about. This is why we're here, because the tomb is empty and Christ is alive. And we are blessed and we can give praise to God that death has no power over us, over the grave, that by the will of Jesus Christ and by his life we live. But Easter is more than just celebrating a life that is to come in our heavenly home. Easter is celebrating a life new and a life changed now in this time, because we are a resurrection people and we believe again and again that as Christ rose to new life, so can we. And isn't spring the perfect time to have an Easter celebration? When the buds are falling, the little red stuff is falling from the trees and the buds are coming and the green is popping up from the earth and the earth is taking on this kind of scent of spring. It's a reminder of us that death, the death of winter, cannot keep things down, that spring is coming. Now, I have to tell you that it's not the changing weather and it's not the green of the world that reminds me of spring. I have to admit that I am reminded that it's spring by the sandhill cranes. They're back. Does anyone have any of them living near them? All right, okay. All right, you're going to understand this. So, the sandhill cranes live in the subdivision where the parsonage, the home that we live in, that the church owns, the parsonage is. And I, this week, came off Brighton Road, going at a good rate of speed. And there's a little rise up into the Mount Brighton subdivision. And so I came around the corner, and I gunned the gas to go up, and there was a crane in the middle of the road. So instead of gas, boom, I put on the brakes. And for those of you who live near cranes, you know how they are. When met with the full force of an automobile, this is what they do. Seriously. And then they do that impossibly thing where their knees bend backwards, and they just walk like this. Yeah, and they just walk. away. And so I had to wait for the crane. And so that's why spring is waiting all day long for the cranes. Now, they are amazing. They come back every year. And those who study cranes say it's the same cranes. They remember where to come. They mate for life. They can live 20 to 30 years. Some they've seen that have lived up to 36 years in testing. They're amazing birds. And they like small marshes, and there are a lot of them around here in this lake area. And so they get into these marshes, but I have to tell you, and maybe it's your experience, they just love lawns and roads too. Someone told me after the last service that he had to brake on Brighton Road, because they were crossing from our subdivision over to Lime Lake, and they just don't care. They don't care. They slow down. And so for me, this is spring, these cranes. And I think to myself that maybe in some ways we are like the cranes. We return. We return here for Easter. We return to this celebration every year, and we remember. We remember all that goes with it. Now, we may not return exactly like the cranes. Cranes are actually, these sandhill cranes are actually black and white, a little of gray in them, but they clean themselves with mud. So when we think about them being brown, what they do is they take on the color of the mud that's in the area that they live. And the call of the cranes. I read, there are marshes like right down by the house, and so I hear these cranes all the time. I've read that the call of the crane described as a rolling bugle. I'm sorry, it sounds like someone's got them by the throat and they're throttling them. I mean, whoa! And so my hope is that, you know, in our Easter finery, we're not dressed as the cranes. And when we sang Christ the Lord is Risen Today, we didn't sound like the cranes. I didn't hear it. But in other ways, we do return and we remember. Now, what we remember is perhaps first the traditions that go with Easter celebrations. So we remember the eggs and the Easter baskets and the grass, that scary plastic grass, and we remember the eggs and the chocolate. I got a pair of chocolate praying hands for Easter. I would eat them, but I don't want to bite the hand of the one who prays for me. We might remember other treats that come, the peeps, microwaving them, oh yeah, and all of those things that come with Easter in that way. And we may remember in the past the Easter clothes, the matching outfits. We had my sister and I had matching dresses, little white hats with ribbons and little white gloves. When we went to a Good Shepherd church, our Episcopalian church I was raised in. And you may have memories of Easters and springs and traditions that go with it. And of course, there's the meal. Now, I have a friend who was raised by she's from India, her family's from India, and their Easter tradition is to go across the river to Windsor and have Chinese. But for most of us, it's like lamb. It's ham, it's some kind of potato, scalloped potatoes, cheesy potatoes, mashed potatoes. What is it with potatoes? You got to have the potatoes on Easter. And then you have some kind of unearthly colored salad, you know, orange or green, you know that one. And then the deviled eggs and then the egg salad forever through the next week. And so there are things that are traditions for us around that. And there are traditions that we remember from coming to church when we were little. For some of us, we remember kind of the smell of walking into the sanctuary and smelling those Easter lilies. Did you smell them? Yeah, that flowery smell. Remember the birds singing as they were this morning when you came in on this Easter morning. And we remember the songs, Up From the Grave He Arose, a classic. And then, of course, the Easter fight song. That's it, Easter fight song. Up from the grave he arose. It is a wonderful celebration and one that we have known for many years, and we return to this place so that we can remember. I think it's fitting then that in this time we not only remember all of those things that go with Easter, but we remember one of the accounts of the empty tomb. So Dave read for us this morning the account from the Gospel of Luke. Imagine, it's Easter morning, the first day of the week, and it is still dark. It's dark because the sun is about to come up and the women cannot work until it does and they are ready. Because the Sabbath is ending, they know where Jesus is buried, and they're going with spices to take care of his body, to honor him with the right kind of burial. And as they approach the tomb, to their astonishment, the stone is rolled away. Who could have done this? They walk into the tomb, and there before them are two men in gleaming white angels, and they fall down to the ground, their faces in the dirt. And you have to know that in that moment of returning to the tomb, they did remember. They remembered the events of the last few days before this. They remember the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, waving palms and people shouting that he's king. They remembered the crowds that gathered around him in the temple and the challenges that he received from the religious leaders. And they remembered just days before that Jesus had gathered with his friends in an upper room, had shared a meal, had gone to the garden where he usually prayed. He was arrested and taken away. And that next morning had the mockery of a trial, appeared before Pilate, and finally was given over to be crucified and nailed to a cross. And they remembered because they stood at a distance watching as he died. And they remembered so Joseph of Arimathea taking his body down and making sure that it got to a grave. And they remember watching Jesus' body be placed in a grave. And so when the angels said, remember, they were. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Now, the kind of memory that they had, that short term, that scene after scene of Jesus' torture and death and burial, were suddenly changed as they remembered. And I'll explain why by looking at the Greek word. The Greek word in this particular passage is mimnesko. It means to remember, and in ancient translations of the Bible, the Old Testament in Greek, the Greek word mimnesko was often used in connection with God remembering. God will not forget. God will remember God's people. That no matter where people roam or how far they go from God, it is God's heart's desire to draw people back. And God will remember. And moving into the New Testament, mimnesko continues in that kind of remembering, pulling people back. But it is not the kind of simple remember like, oh yeah, I didn't forget, I remember. As in, did I remember to bring my keys? Or am I going to remember to get the gallon of milk on the way home? It's not that kind of remember. It's that kind of remember that goes with recollection, with recalling, with when a word or an action brings us back to a particular time. So, for example, when I see a gentleman pull a pocket knife out of his pocket, I remember my dad. And I don't just remember one moment in time. I remember this guy who always had this worn pocket knife and would pull it out for all kinds of reasons. It was part of him. And when I see a woman with dyed red hair, I'm talking that impossibly dyed red hair, mythological red hair, comic book red hair, I remember my grandma. And her flamboyant way of dressing and what she did with her hair. We'd go for Easter and my mom would say, don't say anything about the color of your grandma's hair. So you may have something about this morning when you walk out and you smell the spring coming on. And it's more than just remembering springs, it's remembering times when you were there. You may see children in their Easter finery this morning and say, I remember that. And a whole recollection of your Easter mornings through the years. There may be something in the smell of the flowers that has you pause and remember. It's a recollection. And so when the angels said Mimnesco to the women, and they remembered Mimnesco, it wasn't just that they remembered one thing. It was remember Jesus in Galilee. Remember how he ate with you and with friends and with the outcast as well. Remember that he healed and brought people even to life. Remember the words of wisdom that he offered. Blessed are the peacemakers. I will help carry your burdens. I will be your life. I will be the water. I will be bread for you. Remember. And the women remembered, and they rose. And I have to tell you this morning personally, I am thankful that they did, because it's the reason we're here. For those first disciples who remembered all that Jesus had said and all that Jesus did, they became witnesses for us. And I am thankful for those who have remembered through 2,000 years, generation after generation, century after century, and I am thankful for the people I can name who remembered. For you, the witnesses to Easter may be your parents or your grandparents, a brother, a sister, a friend, a colleague, who witnessed to you the empty tomb, who told the story to you when you were a child. They remembered just as much as the women did the life of Jesus. And here's the crazy thing. Just as all of them have been called to remember to Mimnesco by our presence here today, witnessing to the empty tomb, we are called to remember, to be witnesses as we go out. We're called to remember the Word. The Word is Jesus Christ, spoken by God into this world. We're called to remember the one who came to heal the sick, to bring compassion, to tell us that not only do you have to love God, but you have to love your neighbor. You have to love your enemy. The one who came to bring life to those who were down, to remind us that there are no dead ends where God is concerned and all can be conquered, to remember. We're called to be people who remember new life. New life in Jesus Christ. We are people of resurrection. And wherever we are in our lives, wherever those dead spots are, wherever we languish, today is the day when we say it doesn't matter. Because new life has come in Jesus Christ, and all things are possible. And we are a people who remember Mimnesco forward. We remember again and again as we go through life. Now, some people might be mistaken and see this story of the resurrection as some kind of epilogue. That there was this great story of Jesus, and then he went to Jerusalem, and he was killed. End of story, but wait, there's more. Now Jesus has risen from the dead, and it is a great story. But it's so much more than that. It's not just something where we say, great story, let's have some ham and let's go to Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Easter is a story which we remember again and again and again. In the places in our lives where we fall, we remember that we are people of the resurrection. In places where we are tempted to separate ourselves from other people, to bring on some kind of divisive conversation or attitude, we remember we follow the one who calls all people and rose to save the world, not just a few people. And in times where we are struggling because we don't think we can change, we remember what Jesus has done for us. You know, I got married last summer. Some of you know, some don't. First time, 56 years old. Can you believe it? I know. I can't. My family was stunned. Poor George. And so I married this other pastor, and I remember when I was dating, one of the things that I told him was I was quite concerned about changing You know, during the dating relationship, it was kind of messing up my daily rhythm. I was being distracted. I missed a credit card payment. It was a tragedy. It was like I was falling apart, and I was really concerned about changing. And I was so glad when we got married because I thought it'd be done. Oh, my gosh. 9 months. I can't even imagine what it'll be at 10. I mean, it's like... Sharing, I lived on my own for 30 years, you know? It's like sharing a house with someone, different routines, just completely different. And I know that I'm changed because I said yes to this man, and there's no hope. I've got to change. You know? Hey, he reminds me. Here's the thing. If we're going to say yes to Jesus Christ, we are going to change. You can't be the same person if you are a resurrection person. We remember what Jesus has done, and we begin to take that on. I got to tell you this story. This is Hucci. He is a famous artist in today's modern cultural movement. He is the painter of the two paintings that you've seen so far of the women at the tomb. Now, Hucci was a child during the Cultural Revolution in China. His father was a university professor, and so he was shipped away to a collective farm for hard labor when he was 12 years old by himself, because it was a way, during the Cultural Revolution, the people, the intellectual people, were being re-educated for China. And he was struggling there. It was terribly hard work. He was alone. He was miserable. And then there was this contest to see who could draw the best picture of Mao Zedong, okay, Chairman Mao. And so he entered the contest. He won, and he was able to escape hard labor by all day long drawing pictures, painting pictures of Chairman Mao so that they could be hung in office buildings and in elected officials' homes. That's what he did. But one day, as a young teen, he came across a magazine picture of a Madonna and a child from the Renaissance era, a Raphael, a picture. And he was amazed and obsessed by it. And he began to copy it over and over again. And so, by day, he painted pictures of Chairman Mao, and by night, he painted pictures of Jesus. When the Cultural Revolution ended and eased, Hucci was old enough to go to university, and he went to a university in China, and he studied historical art, art history. He studied the great artist from Europe. And he studied the history of Chinese art. And he studied modern art. And finally, hearing the story of Christ from someone who remembered, he became a Christian and began to understand why he felt such peace and such power as he painted that picture of Jesus. And since that time, he has been proclaiming to the world by his memory, combining art styles from the Middle Ages of Europe, combining modern Western art and some techniques from Chinese art to help us to remember that Christ is Lord. This is his painting called Christ is Risen, the Lord is Risen. It is an amazing picture with the women, with the disciples, with Christ at peace and wounds on his hand, the body and the blood living for us. And it reminds us that we remember too. We remember resurrection means meals shared with enemies. Resurrection and new life means healing for the hopeless. Resurrection and new life means prophetic challenges to the powerful. It means joy. It means assurance. Again and again, it means new life. We can say that we have the opportunity to come to the tomb and to know new life. And I would say beyond that, we have the responsibility to come to the tomb and understand new life. New life in us and as witnesses to those who do not know it yet. I am so glad for those who have come before me and remembered. I am so glad that we have the opportunity to remember. Let us go out. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He lives. Amen. Amen.